Good morning again. I say this, I know, every month, but first Sunday of the month is my favorite Sunday because our whole church family gets to gather together in one place. And I wanted to start off this week's message with a little story. Some of you guys might have heard it before, but it really was part of my beginning in why I really appreciate multi-gen service. So when I was in college, a bunch of my friends and I, we were really excited about God. So we would try to go to different churches and check out other things. So we would go to Cerritos Baptist, which is where I grew up at, in the morning. And then in the afternoon or evening, we'd go check out different churches. So quite a few times we ended up at Gardena Valley Baptist Church, which happened to be the church that my grandma went to. But we would go to the evening service. And the evening service was called Solomon's Porch. And it was lively, it was very different, right? We had the seating was in the round, it wasn't seating like we are today. People were facing each other. My mom has told me a story that my grandma wouldn't let her play her electric guitar in church because it was too rock and roll, and can't do that at church, right? So this is the type of service that we were going to, young adult service at Gardena. So I remember very vividly one Sunday evening, when I sat down, and after the worship was done, the lights go up, and I'm sitting directly in front of my grandma, and she's looking at me. I'm like, that looks like my grandma. So I was like, oh, after church, or after this service, I got to go talk to her. So I go talk to her. It's like, Grandma, I really did not expect you to be here. Like, this is a young adult service. You know, and at this time, she's probably late 70s, early 80s, maybe even older than that, right? So she's older, and she's at this young adult service. She's probably the oldest person there by 40 years, easily. And I said, Grandma, why are you here? And she said, because I want the younger generation of leaders to know that the older generation cares for them. And we support them, and we want them to grow and know the Lord. And that really touched me. And so for me, each time that I'm up here and seeing all the different ages and all the generations that we have in our church all together, that's the sense that I get. Just the support, the care that we have as one church family, and that we get to do this together, and we get to walk together and explore our faith together. So thank you, everyone, whether you're the little kids or the adults with no kids or the grandparents. We appreciate you, and I'm so thankful that I get to walk with all of you. But right now we're going to be continuing our series on Be Lit. Do you guys remember what Be Lit means? Spencer said it. He said it means living in the truth, right? So we need to be lit. We want to be living in the truth. And so each week we're going to be going through a different truth that we need to be living in. So the truth for this week that we're going to explore is that we were created for glory. Or should we say, we were created for glory! Do you guys know what glory is? What's glory? What's glory?
Like giving praise to somebody.
Giving praise to somebody? Okay, that's a good definition. Right? Some people in the world might think it's fame. They might think it's riches. They might think it's winning. Or if you've watched the movie 300, you might think that it's dying in a glorious way, right? But if we look at it in the Bible, there's a word that usually gets translated for glory, and it's called kavod, right? And I looked it up on AI. Now that we have AI, I can just Google it, right? And this is the definition that Google came up with, the Google AI. It's a Hebrew term meaning glory, honor, or weight, signifying deep respect, value, and reputation. Rooted in the concept of heaviness, it describes the tangible presence of God, the glory of the Lord. This is what we were created for. We were created to experience the weight of the tangible presence of God. Heavy, huh? Okay, it was funnier in my head. Okay, so let's look at a few verses right now. This is Psalm 8:3-6, and this is David. Right? David. And this is actually probably part of the song that Riley likes. Okay? This is David, King David, saying, "When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. You made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority." Right? If we look around in nature, we look at vast, huge things, mountain ranges, grand canyons, beaches that go as far as we can see. These vast, amazing things. And David is saying, who are we as people, these just insignificant specks, that God should care for them when he's created all of these amazing things? He's made us just a little lower than him and crowned us with glory and honor. How many people in this room feel like they're experiencing glory and honor every day? I don't see a lot of hands. I see a few, but I don't see a lot of hands. So there's something going on that we're missing out on. We're missing out on something that we were created for. And that is shown to us in Romans chapter 3. If we look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Right? So this, again, shows us we were created for glory, and there's something that is missing in our world because we're not experiencing it the way that the Bible talks about. When we looked at the definition, it said the tangible presence of God, right? God wants to show his glory to us. But there's a problem. There's a problem. And that problem is sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? It separated us from God. So then we don't get to experience the tangible presence of God anymore. After sin entered the world, instead of receiving and reflecting God's glory, we sought after glory in other places because we knew there's something in us that knows that we are created for glory. But for a lot of people, we've looked for it in all the wrong places. Two common places that people look for glory in: relationships and performance. Another term for glory that I looked up, the term glory days. How many people have heard glory days? Right? A lot of times it reflects something in the past, right? It was when things were so great. Dictionary.com says the glory days and years are usually the time of greatest achievement, popularity, success, and the like. There's something in us that recognizes past glory. But the reason that it's past is because it's temporary. And we were created for something eternal. Eternal, an eternal glory. And because of sin, the only way for us to experience God's tangible presence was through a veil. Do you guys know what a veil is? Do you guys know what a veil is? It's a covering. We needed a covering, right? So when God appeared to people in the Old Testament, we see him in the cloud, in the pillar of fire, right? He would only show himself once a year in the tabernacle to the high priest. It was limited opportunities for people to experience the tangible presence of God. And people like us, we would not have been able to do it. We would not have been able to experience the tangible presence of God face to face like we were created for. So, who wants to play a game? Yeah. Who wants to play a game? Okay, good. I'm glad Carol raised her hand because I feel like some of the times that we've been doing some of these games and things, it's been all the kids up here, right? So we want to get this. This is called multi-gen service, so it's not just for the kids. So Carol, why don't you come on up? Okay, come on. You raise your hand. You can come up. Okay, let's get a couple. Okay, Eliana, can you come up? Okay, let's get one more person. Is there someone else? Okay, we already have a kid. Yeah, Carol, come up. Okay. And anybody else? Okay, Leanna, come on up. Okay. Let's give a round of applause. Okay. So for this game, what they are competing for is the glory of being the champion of today's game. Okay? So here's how today's game is going to work. Okay? And I need everybody else to help. Okay? Because I only have two eyes and there's three people. Okay? So I'm going to need you guys to help and let me know who raises their hand first. Okay? So the game is, tell me who I'm describing by either their catchphrase or a description of who they are. Okay? So your goal is to tell me who I'm talking about. Okay?
Is it Bible related?
Yeah, is
it Bible related?
That's a good question.
Is it people in the church? Is it Pastor
Barry? It is not Bible related and it is not Pastor Barry.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. All right. So the first catchphrase is, blah, 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 blah. That's all, folks.
Oh, Daffy Duck.
You have to wait until we call on you because you raised your hand. Right? That's what we said. We have to, who raises their hand first and then we call on them.
Did you?
Yeah. That's why I said they all need to help. They need to tell us who raised their hand first.
Minus points.
Because then I have to give you the microphone so that we can make sure it's on the recording that you got it right, right? Okay.
No,
okay, so let's try. So, but anyway, that was not the right answer. So, okay. Leanna says. Let her answer. Okay.
Bugs Bunny.
No, it is not Bugs Bunny. Okay. Do you know?
You know?
Do you know?
Yes.
Do you know? Okay, so none of them know. Okay, so this is a multi-generational answer that nobody knows.
Do it again.
Okay. That's all, folks. You said Daffy Duck. Yes, it is Porky Pig. Okay, so now do we get the game? We get the game, right? Okay, you have to raise your hand.
I thought it was sports
related. Okay, in the past you've done some sports related, but this is not sports related.
Okay.
Number two. With great power comes great responsibility. And I'm getting confused looks on faces. I should have put the Jeopardy music on here. I thought some of these were going to be easier. Okay, I saw. You got anybody? Anyone? You have to get called on first.
Spider-Man.
Yes, she got Spider-Man. Okay, it took a while, but okay. So right now, Carol has 1 point. Spider-Man. Okay. Number three. More than meets the eye. More than meets the eye.
Transformers,
good job. Okay, so 1-1.
These are all Damon's favorite things.
I know!
Is the next one Care Bears?
No, the next one is not Care Bears. Okay. All right. The next one is a fun one. Okay. Do you smell what? Blank. It's cooking. It's, do you smell what blank is cooking? No? Okay, Eliana.
Cookie Monster.
Oh, that's a good guess. Okay. You guys get it? Carol, Leanna, no? Okay. I see Josh in the back. Josh, what? The Rock, that's correct. The Rock.
No. When did he say that?
He always says that. He says, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? That's his catchphrase.
No, he does not.
You're welcome.
That's Maui. Maui says you're welcome, not The Rock, okay? Okay, next one. This one, hopefully somebody gets this one. Okay, number five. It's 1-1 out of 4 questions. Okay, next question. What's up, Doc?
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. Good job, Eliana. Okay, three-way tie right now.
Last one.
Okay, There's two more. Okay. No. This one? Cowabunga, dude.
Huh? Well, that could be a lot. I know one that says one. Snoopy. When he's on the...
Snoopy?
Yes! Yes! He's on the surfboard and he says cowabunga.
Okay. You got it?
No?
No?
Johnny Bravo.
No, it's not Johnny Bravo.
Cowabunga, dude?
Okay. Correct! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles! Okay, alright, okay. It is still a three-way tie after six questions of one each, okay? So hopefully this is the tiebreaker or nobody gets the glory today of being the champion, okay?
Damon, because this is all his old... How is this guy related?
You'll see in a second.
Oh, the glory that got... You'll see in a second.
Okay. Alright, this last one. Okay. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's...
Superman.
All right. Carol, thank you.
Finally.
I tried to pick older ones on purpose. So thank you for helping me out. Okay. Carol gets the glory of being the champion of today's game. Thank you, Carol. Okay, so yes, the game was about glory, but part of the reason that I wanted us to play this game was to finally get to this, Superman. Okay? A few weeks ago, Pastor Barry in his message on serving talked about Superman. And that how we are more like Superman than a lot of people realize or recognize or experience, right? And a lot of it is attitude, okay? We're going to take a little bit different angle because, again, today we're talking about that we were created to experience God's glory, okay? So we're going to show a clip. I'm going to show actually two clips. This first clip is a clip from this most recent Superman movie. I'm trying not to ruin the movie, so if you haven't seen it, I try to make it as short as possible so it doesn't ruin the movie, okay? So spoiler alert, this is from the most recent Superman movie. But I feel like this shows kind of what we're talking about in terms of experience, glory, and the result of sin, okay? So in the scene, Superman is trapped in a cage with a person who has, what is Superman's weakness? Kryptonite, right? This person can make kryptonite. So he's stuck in this cage, and that's where we're going to get started. Okay, hit the clip.
Gross looking.
I don't know. I thought that must be the sun.
What sun? There's no sun here.
That's the problem. I need to heal.
I get my powers from the yellow sun. Just give me a second. Come on.
Okay. So that's clip one, right? So in our clip, Superman is affected by the kryptonite, right? He's sick because of the kryptonite, right? Okay, and again, no analogy is going to be perfect, so this is just an analogy from a movie, but Superman is sick, kind of like, and he's not able to experience the fullness of being Superman, right? He's on the ground, he looks all messed up. This is what happened to us when sin entered the world. We weren't able to experience all that we were created for. There's a sickness that we have. When did Superman stop being Superman? He was still Superman the whole time. When did we lose the image of God in us? We never lost the image of God in us, but we were sick because of sin. So in our clip, the kryptonite goes away, right? The kryptonite goes away. It's gone, right? And in our understanding of the gospel, right, we become a new creation, right? Because of what Jesus did on the cross in his death and resurrection, we're a new creation. But for many people, we still experience life similarly after becoming Christian. Not everybody, but many people experience life similarly to before because of the result of the effects of sin. Similarly, Superman didn't all of a sudden, I'm Superman again, I can do everything. Right? He was still dealing with the result of the effects of the kryptonite. And that's why Metamorpho is the other guy, that's what his name is. That's why Metamorpho was like, why are you still messed up? I got rid of the kryptonite, it's gone. It's not there anymore. But what did Superman tell him? That's not where my strength comes from. My strength comes from the sun. Right? And that's why when he was from Krypton, they had a red sun. He comes to Earth with a yellow sun. That's where he gets all his power from. Right? But there's no sun. There's no sun there. So he's still suffering from the effects. Right? And what do you say? He just says, just give me a minute. I'll heal. But he's not going to heal that fast. It's going to take time because there's no sun. Okay? So that will take us to our second clip. Okay? So let's see our second clip.
I can't make a sun.
I know.
I can only make something kind of like a sun.
What?
All right. Okay. Here we got hydrogen and deuterium. And we got helium, and compression.
What are you obviously. Doing? Hey! Hey! No, stop! Enough! You're gonna get all of us in trouble!
Hey, bro, what are you doing?
Hey! Stop that! He's doing something in here!
God! God! He's doing something!
No, you are not going to take credit for this! I am the one that saw it first!
Oh, shake it high, Barbie! I'm taking credit for it! Yeah!
These two are gonna get us killed!
Okay, like I said, I don't want to spoil the movie. I don't want to ruin the rest of it. So I know everybody is going to now go home and try to watch it. But okay, I don't want to spoil the movie. But after Superman gets exposed to this imitation sun, right, he gets his power back, or some of his power back, which we find out later in the movie because one of the guards later, he's flying around, and he says, kill him now, he's still weak. Why was he still weak? Because that was just a substitute for the sun. It was a substitute for the sun. It wasn't the actual sun. He had to go out into the actual sun to get the fullness of his power back. So in a similar way, we experience glimpses of glory each day. That's what we said. Things like fame, riches, winning, right? They're glimpses of glory. Sometimes they make us feel really good, right? Sometimes we feel like I could do anything. But they're temporary. They don't last. And we were created for something that's eternal. And I think one of the cool things about Superman in this clip help us to understand is, where do we get it from? Where do we get that eternal sense of glory from? Standing in the sun. Sun spelled differently, right? There, he's talking about sun, S-U-N, right? But standing in the sun with Jesus, right? Standing with Jesus. In the Old Testament, there's a verse, Leviticus 9, 5 through 7, and this is what it says. So the people presented all these things at the entrance of the tabernacle, just as Moses had commanded. Then the whole community came forward and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded to you, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Then Moses said to Aaron, come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering to purify yourselves and the people. Then present the offerings of the people to purify them, making them right with the Lord, just as he has commanded. So in the Old Testament, they had to provide these offerings, right? They had to have a sin offering just to experience and come into the presence of the glory of the Lord. That's who Jesus was for us. Jesus makes it possible for us now, each one of us, to come into the presence of God. Now we are able to experience the fullness of the glory of the Lord that we were made for. Just like Superman needed to be in the presence of the Son, we need to be in the presence of the Son, Jesus. Our faith isn't just about reading our Bible. That's an important part, but that's not all of it. It's not about how much knowledge we gain. It's not about checking off the boxes. It's not about all the things that we do. But it needs to start with us standing in front of the Son, the relationship that we have with Jesus. Jesus removed the veil for us so that we can experience God's glory. So as we start to wrap up this message, I wanted to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And this is what it says. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay. So this is the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we talked about there being a veil. Says the veil is removed. The veil is removed so we can stand in front of Jesus now with unveiled face.
What's the veil?
It's gone. We don't have to worry about the veil anymore. It's gone. Okay? And it says we are being transformed into the same image. But how are we going to know what that image is unless we're looking at it? So we need to come into God's presence and stand in front of the Son. So as we wrap up, we're going to actually, in our second worship set, we're going to actually kind of do a call to action in our second worship set. Okay, I'm going to ask a question. This is semi-rhetorical, but not. I just kind of want to see a show of hands. Okay, when people ask you how you're doing, if your or one of your normal responses is, I'm busy, raise your hand. Okay. Actually, I was expecting more people to raise their hand, but we live in a society that's very busy. It's very busy. Our day is full of stuff, right? This past Sunday, Pastor Sam came and he shared a message about availability and how sometimes we need to slow down, make space. So one of the things that we're doing this month, as a church body, stepping into all these new things, we're starting our healing service next week. We're going to have Easter coming up. Our church is moving in this new direction, okay? And one of the themes for this year is shine, right? As a church, we're going to shine. So one of the things that we're going to do as a call to action is we're going to be intentional about setting aside something that we do regularly so that we can spend time putting ourselves in front of the Son. And what are we going to do? As a church, we're going to fast. Okay? So starting this month, starting today actually, okay, side note, yesterday staff, we sent out a text, who wants to start because nobody's signing up until today, so I volunteered, so I'm fasting today. But this month, we want to fill each day with someone, at least one person from our church fasting and praying. So what fasting is, it's just an opportunity for us to spend 24 hours of not eating and using that time that we'd normally be eating to pray, to spend time with God. But prayer isn't just time where we're just talking at God, but it's also time where we're listening so that we can receive what the Lord has for us. Okay. So during our second worship set, we'll be taking some time. There's sign-up sheets on each of the tables. And we'd like to invite everyone to join us as we fast and pray for, as we prepare for Easter, as we prepare for stepping into these healing services and things like that. So for the month of March, our church is going to fast. And so as we kind of lead into that, there are two verses that came to mind, and they go together. So this Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And Deuteronomy 8:3, which is what Jesus is referencing when he says this, says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger and feeding you with manna, neither you or your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So this is an opportunity for us to be intentional about that, recognizing we're not just sustained by our food. We're sustained by the words that come out of God's mouth. And those are the things that transform us. Those are the things that make us into his image. That's the way, one way, that we can experience the glory that we were created for. As we come into his presence with unveiled face. And sometimes we're so busy, it's easy to let the whole day go by and like, oh, I didn't even spend time with God today. So for this month, we're going to be intentional about that, setting aside some time so that we can be intentional about fasting and praying together. So the truth that we worked on today, that we explored today, is that we were created for glory. And because of Jesus and what he did on the cross, we are now able to step into that and experience the fullness of that glory. And the way to experience that is to bring ourselves to his presence and experience real relationship with him. So let's close our time in prayer. God, this morning during that first worship set, I just personally really felt the weight of your presence this morning. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us as a church. Thank you for being with us individually. Thank you that you are a God that doesn't just dictate from heaven, but you are a God that wants to be with us, that wants to walk with us, wants to show us how to be transformed in our character into the likeness of your Son. So God, we thank you that you've created us to experience eternal glory, not just this, the fake ones, the imitation ones, the little things that make us feel good, but you've created us to experience an eternal glory of being in your presence. So we invite you here again during this worship set. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Barry's going to come up and share a little bit about the fasting and praying.
Thank you, Damon. Let's get Damon a hand. You know, like he said, I am very convinced in faith. I really believe that the Lord is excited. The Lord's excited to move, and he's prepared to move in greater glory, and greater glory in our church. And but it's kind of like he's ready, willing, he's excited, he's making preparations. One of those ways is through the healing service, and there's a number of different ways. But we have to be prepared to be connected with the Lord so he can move in glory. And it's kind of like a child asks for some power tools. And as a wise parent, you would not give them power tools until they're old enough, mature enough to handle it. Why? Because if you give it to them, there's a good chance they're going to get hurt. In the same way, I believe the Lord is getting ready to move in power in such a way that some of your friends, family, coworkers are going to experience him and going to come to him, come to the Lord. But I feel like we need to prepare our hearts, prepare ourselves to do that. And so we really felt collectively as a church staff sensing the Lord calling us to a season of fasting. And so we've designated this whole month of March for our season of fasting. And so I want to encourage all of you, or most of you, to sign up for at least 1 day of fasting. And what we're calling 1 day of fasting is a 24-hour period. So really, you only have to miss two meals. You could eat dinner, and then the next day skip breakfast and lunch, and then you could eat dinner. Okay, but a 24-hour, and we kind of made it as kind of a joke, but a kind of a rule at Catalyst. You could eat anything or drink anything that you could get through a straw, okay? Something, how about a boba straw? Whatever your conscience, whatever your conscience says, it's okay. But I believe most people could fast 1 day. And then I know people fast, miss a meal. I'm starving. No, you're not. You could go a day. So if you've never fasted before, you want information at the tables. We have a friend of mine, Pastor Joe. It says Yoshihara from Seattle. Their church fasted last year. So he put out a real good introduction guideline to fasting. So that's up there. And then you could sign up. All you have to do is put your name and email. And for some of you who feel called to do more than one, I encourage that. Like maybe every Monday I'm going to fast. So you can put your name, email. The rest of the days, you could just put your name, your first name, all right? And then we'll send out reminders to all of you. But I think this is going to be a very significant time for us. Spend the time fasting and use that time to seek the Lord, okay? So let's do that together. During the worship time, you could come up after service, but during the worship time, kind of come up and present your body. Romans 12, right? Present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your service of worship. And so it's you off bringing your heart before the Lord. Okay, I'm gonna offer myself. I'm gonna fast these days. All right, so I encourage you to do that during the worship. All right, okay, so let's worship the Lord and encourage you to come up and sign up for a day of fasting. Thanks. Oh, let me just say, too, if for medical reasons or some reason you cannot feel like it's not wise for you to do